You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
West side!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. Down with the King for years, about 10 of them. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Marcus, still hungover from trick-or-treating Vandenberg. What's going on, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing? Long time no talk, man.
Yeah, it's been a little while, man. Like last week, Brother Mike was able to step in, and we were able to hear from you and Brian Mann up in New York. But it's good to have a team back together. So, I think we're going to have a lot of fun this week. We're going to talk about some NBA. We're going to talk some NFL. And, of course, we got some ratchetness in segment four. For those that follow the Kings of Sport Twitter, at KazPod, we were going to talk some baseball this week, but we're going to postpone that because some things came up in my life, in my world, if you will, Marcus.
Yeah, so I heard you had quite the eventful night on, Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday night. Let me tell you, it's real out these streets, Marcus.
The streets of Newport News, huh?
Yeah, they don't call it bad news for nothing, brother. So, yeah, so for those that are wondering, what's all this vague talk about things that went down Thursday night? Well, for the listeners out there, first of all, I'm safe, so that's the best thing. Second of all, my pockets are pretty safe, but what could have led to them not being so safe is I was robbed Thursday night.
What?
And not robbed in the sense of Pernell Sweepy Whitaker losing the decision to Julio Cesar Chavez. Not that. Not robbed like the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football got robbed against the Seattle Seahawks. I was literally robbed by three black dudes.
Why they had to be black, Nate?
Because they were. Let me set the scene, Marcus.
All right.
And this is... This is a wild story because it was 7 o'clock.
Actually, if you want more visual, and this is what I did last time when you told me the story, if you go to Google Maps, you didn't actually like get a visual of like where it went down. So
of the
location.
You see how the scenario was laid out.
Yes.
So it was 7 o'clock, Newport News, Virginia, and I'm going to a local establishment, a gas station, to pick up some cigarettes because I still haven't quit smoking fully. And I picked up some cigarettes, an energy drink, and three beers. So I'm walking back and I'm like, you know what? I need some household items. I need, some deodorant. I need some air fresheners because I like when my place smells good. So I decide to walk to the Family Dollar. And as I'm walking into the Family Dollar, I see three young black man, probably anywhere from 17 to 20, 16 to 20, maybe somewhere in that age range. Young black man standing outside. So I give him the official black man head nod, the what's up head nod. No response from either of these three gentlemen, which already sets off my spider senses. I'm like, something is amiss with these three brothers out here. But I don't think too much about it. I go in, purchase my items, come on out. And as I'm walking out, I see the one dude, but I don't see the other two guys, so I give him the head nod on the way out.
A.K.A. the N-word nod.
And this young man decided to follow me. And he was about 3 or 4 paces behind me. And I keep looking out the corner of my eye like, I've been in some setup type situations. And this feels eerily similar to those situations. So I keep my eye on this man. But I have to make a turn at a corner to head down the sidewalk. And so as I make the turn, young man decides to come from behind, punch me across the face, almost like a cross face. And he punched me across the face, hits me on the bridge of the nose. I stumble and I turn around. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And so me and him get to scuffling. And while we're scuffling, I get tackled from behind, hands on the pavement, knees on the pavement, get all scraped up and cut up. And then the next thing I know is 3 brothers out there. The guy that initially hit me from behind is picking up one of the bags. The other kid is picking up another one of the bags, and then the kid that tackled me has got my cell phone. And so I'm like, okay, the odds are not in my favor here, but I'm going to see what I can do in this situation. Now, a smart man, Marcus, probably would have just, got up and walked away or ran away.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you just had to take the L and keep it moving.
But you know me, sometimes in the heat of the moment, I don't really think and put together the whole situation. And so I'm like, I walk towards the guys with my arms outstretched, kind of like in the I don't mean you no harm pose. And I'm like, hey, y'all need to stop this. I don't know if the ghost of Isaac Davis inhabited my body and I turned into the mayor from Do the Right Thing. But I felt this was a time for a social message with these young brothers. They're like, hey, y'all need to stop this, man. What the hell y'all doing? And as I'm walking towards him, the kid holds something out. Now, I don't know what he held out. I'm thinking in my mind, I still believe it was a piece of my cell phone, which kind of shattered when it hit the ground. I think it was a piece of my cell phone he was holding out. But the lady on the dispatch, when I called the police later, spoiler alert, I called the police.
Ooh, you talked to cops.
We'll get to that in a second. She said, are you sure it was the knife? Because he did make a motion to reach into his pocket. So that very well could have been the case. He could have had me at knife point, and I just didn't realize it because of the adrenaline in the moment. And I was trying to make a social point to these young men and trying to get my phone back because I had just got the phone number for Big Swole from WCW. And I'm like, damn, now I got to get Big Swole's phone number all the way over again. So I'm like, hey, y'all need to stop, brothers. And I'm walking towards him. He holds out whatever it is he holds out. That stops me in my tracks. And I'm just like, okay. And then they kind of laugh at me a little bit. Ha ha, we got you, nigga. And then they do their little victory dance and they run off into the projects into the night.
So I never robbed anyone. Shocked right now. But if I were to rob someone, I'm not going to rob the dude turning out the Family Dollar store because,
yes,
as you can tell by the title of the store, Family Dollar, the items in the store cost $1. So really, what good am I getting out of robbing someone for $3 worth of goods when, I can round up $3 and go buy something.
Yeah, literally, other than my cell phone, which I promptly deactivated as soon as I got home, the most they made out with was like $10. Because they didn't get my wallet. They didn't get any of my credit cards. They didn't get the cash that was on me. All they got were the items that I bought from the gas station, the items I bought from Family Dollar, and the cell phone. So other than that, I still had, what was really important on my person.
Gotta keep the wallet.
So I get home, call the cell phone company. I'm on with the cell phone company for like 15 minutes. And this was really an interesting conversation because I'm still, my adrenaline's pumping a little bit. And I'm like, I need to make sure my phone is deactivated because I just got robbed. Okay, one moment, that will help you, sir. My name is Brenda. Brenda, we ain't got no time for all this, Brenda. This is serious. And so finally, me and Brenda got the phone deactivated. So I don't have to worry about them prank calling Big Swole because I don't need them problems in my life. So that's taken care of. So then I sit down and I'm like, do I need to call the police? Because I'm torn on this, Marcus, and I'm sure you understand the internal conflict.
Go ahead.
On the one hand, it's like, you know what? These dudes not only robbed me, but they, you know, if it weren't for my training and my 1 year of being a wrestler in high school.
And watching years of wrestling.
And watching years of pro wrestling, knowing how to keep my balance, keep a low center of gravity. That could have ended up pretty bad, because the only reason I didn't go to the ground, like, that was the whole thing I was thinking in my head the whole time. Don't go to the ground, because if I go to the ground, it's 3-on-1. I seen wrestling, I'm going to get stalked.
Yep, you see the feet coming, and you got to cover up and hope for the best.
Yeah, so I kept my, even though he knocked me off balance, I was able to stay on my feet. But if I wasn't watching him, or if I didn't, you know, had a presence of mind to stay on my feet, that could have got ugly, because dude, he came, like, it was a wild swing, but he just kind of, the way I was and the way he was, he just kind of glanced me. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. It's like, if I wasn't paying attention, that could have ended up real bad. So I'm like, you know what? That was a violent crime. So I should call the police. But then on the other hand, the black man in me is like, stop snitching. But then on the other hand, the black man that's over the age of 25 is like, nah, man, them niggas need to go to jail.
They need to learn.
They're going to learn today. So finally, I was like, okay, after about 5 minutes, I was like, you know what? Let's call the police. So I called Newport News Finest. They came to the crib, took down my statement, you know, took some pictures of my little scrapes and injuries and bruises that I had obtained during the scuffle.
You don't bruise. You're black.
No, I don't bruise, but I mean, I got scuffles and cuts and scrapes and stuff. Look, you know, I was looking. It was funny because he had.
I bruise.
He had the. He had like the little victim's camera, because I watch Law and Order. Mm-hmm. So he had the little victim's camera, and I was like, wow, he taking pictures of me like I'm one of them women on SVU. I don't really know how I feel about this particular situation. So he does all that, and then he begins to ask me questions, and I tell him about what happened, tell him the story, and he's just like, now I don't want you to get mad, but some of your story is a little bit inconsistent, and I don't know. I'm gonna need you to tell me that story again so we can make sure what you're saying. And I was like, wait a minute. And he's like, you know, not to say that you're lying to me or anything, but you know, if this goes the full extent and goes to trial, defense attorneys are gonna try to pick apart those inconsistencies. And again, I watch Law and Order, so I'm like, I know how defensive attorneys do. But I still feel like you're trying to say I'm lying. But we wrapped all that up. He took my statement. He left. Marcus and I, we started to do a podcast with Bobby and Dennis. It didn't work. The flow wasn't there, you know. His brother was still feeling a little some type of way after the incident. So I chilled for a little bit. We postponed it. We're going to talk to those guys after the World Series wraps up, win or lose with the Mets. And then about 10 o'clock at night, 10 or 11 o'clock, I get a knock at the door. And so I'm like, okay, let me see who this is. And I open the door, but I had like a little mean look on my face because I wasn't sure who it was. But it turned out to be the officer, and he had recovered my deodorant and my cigarettes from the scene of the crime.
So they dropped those or disposed of them?
Because he showed me the bag, and it looks like in the process of them running, the bag got ripped, and okay. the cigarettes fell out, were run over a couple times by some cars because it had been sitting out there for about an hour, hour and a half, but they were still smokable, and I did indeed smoke them.
I think you deserved a cigarette last night.
Yeah, I think after all that, I deserve at least a couple puffs. And so, but he also found the deodorant that was there. But he said he couldn't find the cell phone, and he obviously didn't find the beer, the energy drinks, but yeah, the good news is, you know, I'm relatively safe. My money is intact. And there's like, from where they came out from under the awning at the Family Dollar, there's like three or four security cameras.
Yeah, I was going to ask you last night. Maybe it's on camera.
There's like a security camera pointing at the entrance, one pointing the opposite way. There's one pointing in the alley where they ran past. And there's another one at the car wash, which is where we passed as well. So there's four different angles that these dudes might get caught on.
Now, if the video comes out of you getting robbed, we're posting on Facebook, right?
I mean, I'm going to need some. We're going to have to monetize it like on YouTube.
We'll put some ads on it. Yeah. We'll put some like self-defense ads before we play the video.
Because, you know, if people are going to laugh at my pain, I at least want to be compensated for it.
Yes. YouTube Red.
So, yeah, that was a crazy situation. And, yeah, it's like I got a football game to do tonight, so that'll be a good way to kind of get my mind right. But, yeah, it was a little crazy.
Well, I'm glad you're right. That's not something that anyone should have to experience. Especially, I mean, you figured after a certain age, you're probably hopefully immune to some of these things, but unfortunately, that's not the case. So I'm glad you're right, man.
I appreciate it. That's the other reason I called, because like the people after me were like, it was like an old dude and like a woman with her kids. And I was like, you know what? Like, maybe, like, it sucks that it happened to me, but rather me than them. So, like, that's why I'm like, man, I got to call. Because if these idiots are going to do it to me, and I'm not the biggest dude in the world, but I'm capable of halfway defending myself somewhat.
Yeah.
Like, then they'll do it to that old man that was behind me in line. So, it's like, yeah, somebody got to get these knuckleheads in line.
So, you've been robbed. I had my apartment broken into. We've discussed on the show in Harlem. We had Alfred, who had his car stolen.
For those,
it's tough to get black male in inner city communities.
For those that said this show wasn't black enough, all three hosts or two current hosts and one former host have truly lived the black experience.
Yes, and so survived to tell about it.
We've been denied jobs. We've been accosted by crime. We've ate fried foods.
Drank Kool-Aid.
Marcus hadn't slept with a white woman yet, but who knows?
Never.
I see if you're still paying attention. I think Alfred slept with enough of the both of us, though.
Yeah.
Anybody who needs a refresher on that, go back to the... I think that picture's still up.
On it the is.
Face that, yeah. In Vegas with that mountain of cougars.
With the Bret Hart trunks, yeah, it's still up there.
That is... I would love, like, I'm not, I almost said I would love it if Alfred died.
No. I mean, we still want him on the show. We don't want him to die.
It's a terrible thing to say, but no, what I meant to say was I would love it if when Alfred passed.
Oh,
like,
okay.
However long that is in the future. Hopefully it's a long time, but I would love it if that was the picture they used on the bulletin for his funeral service.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of Brother Cunningham doing what he loved best. Oh man. But speaking of death, Marcus, that's the most indelicate transition we've done in a while. Probably since the Lamar Odom episode a couple shows ago.
Yeah.
This past week the NBA lost one of its most beloved coaches, and that is Philip Flip Saunders, who passed away on October the 25th. Best known as coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and generally from everything that you heard last week, just people just love Flip Saunders, Marcus. So what were your memories of Flip, and you know, in terms of his legacy, what do you think it'll be?
He seemed to be very well respected from his fellow coaches in the NBA and also fellow media members. No, not fellow media, but for media members who covered him over his career. What will stand out to me will be his first run in Minnesota, and especially that team that challenged the Lakers, and I think it was 03-04 in the conference finals with Kevin Garnett, and I think Marbury was still around. And that was, you know, the height of the Timberwolves. That's the closest they've gotten to making the finals. And, you know, I just think that unfortunately, his time in Detroit and time in Washington will probably hurt his legacy a little bit. But considering the job he did with Minnesota, a team that, yeah, as you see now, not very good and really hasn't been good since Flip left the first time. But it just really unfortunate that how fast this all happened. I mean, considering the news came out in August that he was diagnosed with lymphoma. And a little over two months later, he was already gone. So it just shows you that not only is life short, but sometimes when you hear these diagnosis of cancer, and I think sometimes you just assume that they'll be cured or they'll be all right, but in this case, it did not happen.
Yeah, and Flip, you know, passed away, like you mentioned, just really young, at 60 years old. And it's like, man, those Timberwolves teams from, you know, 95 to 05, those were, I hate to say it, but that's probably the glory days of that franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think that they're going to, I mean, they've got a good young nucleus now, but it's going to take some time. And I was really excited to see what Flip could have done with these young guys and molding this team into possibly being a playoff contender again. And one of the most moving tributes that I saw, and we posted it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Kings of Sport, was KG, Kevin Garnett. Obviously, one of the all-time great players that Flip Saunders had the chance to coach. And, you know, he just posted a picture of himself sitting in front of Flip Saunders' parking spot at the arena with his hoodie on. And it was just really moving. And I don't know if you had a chance to see what Andre Blotch had to say on Twitter.
I did not, know.
Blotch was with the Wizards when Flip Saunders was there. And he was just like, you know, I love you, Coach Flip. I'm sorry that I didn't always listen to the lessons you were trying to teach me. And you know, you're trying to make me a better player and a better man. And I'm sorry that I failed you, but I'm going to make you proud. It's like people don't get that deep and dare I say that revealing on Facebook unless there's a reason behind it. And apparently, you know, from players' perspective, from the perspective of league officials and other coaches, like Flip Saunders was that dude that just brought a joy for the game and a joy of life every time he was able to step out there on the court.
I hate to bring the sad obit to an end, but you mentioned Andre Blotch, and I would be remiss not to mention my favorite Andre Blotch story would be him and Gilbert Arenas and the poop in the shoe. this is the type of team Flip Saunders had to deal with in Washington. He had to deal with guns in a locker room and
yes.
poop in the shoes.
Yes. Flip is just like, he looked at him like, I'm literally too old for this shit.
Yes.
Literally. So, but you know my favorite thing about Flip Saunders on Marcus, and mm-hmm. I think we talked about it. I want to say we either talked about it here or we talked about it, Brian and I talked about it on Review and Impact a while back. But just Flip was cool and everything. He had a joyful life. But at the end of the day, Flip Saunders was a pimp in the best sense of the word, because he was, at the time when the Timberwolves were looking for a new coach, wasn't he like the director of basketball operations?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'll start a coaching search. I got you on this. Let me find a head coach. Flip Saunders looking around, can't see anybody. Oh, wait a minute. What's this, a mirror? I got your next head coach.
I see me.
Flip Saunders, I'm going to take us to the promised land. So, yeah, I appreciate it. Like, Flip Saunders was so ingrained in that community. And it's hard for us to kind of understand that, Marcus, because I haven't spent a whole lot of time in Minneapolis. I mean, I know you were there for NABJ, but, like, have you spent a lot of time up there?
No, it's my first time.
So, you know, Flip Saunders, both from his college years playing at the University of Minnesota and also through his time with the Timberwolves, like, that was his town. That was his area. That was his region. And people up there really seemed to love Flip Saunders.
Yeah, that Minnesota team, himself, Kevin McHale.
Yes.
Ray Williams, who went to Mount Vernon High School, who passed away a couple years ago. And then Michael Thompson, former first-round overall pick.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, they had quite the talent on that team.
That's crazy. So, yeah, rest in peace, Flip Saunders, who, again, passed away last week at the age of 60. So, you know, you will be missed. And, you know, I hope the Timberwolves make it to the playoffs this year just for Flip, man.
Yeah, well, they're already 1-0. They beat the Lakers. They rallied for Flip, so.
So, that's what's coming up with the NBA season. We've got a lot of good action ahead of us. But on this show, Marcus, what we got ahead of us is Second Down. We're going to talk some football. We're going to bring back the Black Quarterback Power Rankings. And, of course, Segment 4 with plenty of ratchetness. And on the way out, Marcus, I just thought of a really good a silver lining to the whole robbery thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because if my cell phone wasn't broken and they were able to turn it back on, Obviously, they're not going to be able to make any calls because I deactivated it, but they still should be able to use my apps. And one of the apps I have on there is Stitcher. So if they go to Stitcher and look up my saved shows, they'll find the Kings of Sport. So maybe we picked up three new listeners.
Wouldn't that be something if they're sitting at the projects right now and listening to the show?
like, you know what? That's not the way I wanted to get new listeners.
Hey, but listen. As long as they can listen in prison, we're good.
Yeah, we will be the number one show among inmates in a juvenile hall. We represent for juvie.
Yeah.
So keep it locked right here, whether you're free or locked up. And we'll be back with more fun, more sports on the show that has never had to run from the Ku Klux Klan, and we shouldn't have to run from a black man, the Kings of Sport.
I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man, because that's
self-destruction, yeah, it was self-destruction, self-destruction, yeah, it was self-destruction, self-destruction, yeah, it was self-destruction.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Funky Fresh, dressed to impress, ready to party. Money in your pocket, dying to move your body. To get inside, you pay the whole $10. Scotch tape with a razor blade, tape to your collar. Leave the guns in the crack and the knobs alone. MC lights on the microphone. Bum rushing and pushing, snatching and taxing. I crammed understand why brothers don't be maxing. There's only one disco, they'll close one more. You ain't guarding the door, so what you got a gun for? Do you rob the rich and give to the poor? Yo, daddy, yo.
Straight from the mouth
of why
and daddy-o
do a crime,
end up in jail,
and gotta go.
Cause you could do crime and get paid today,
and tomorrow you're behind bars in the worst way.
Far from your family,
cause you're locked away.
Now tell me,
do you really think crime pays?
Scheming on taking what your brother has?
You little sucker,
you talking all that jazz.
It's time to get together in a unity. Cause if not, then you're soon to be self-destroyed. Unemployed, the rap race will be lost without a trace or a clue. But what to do is stop the violence and kick the science down the road that we call eternity, where knowledge is formed and you learn to be self-sufficient, independent. To teach to each is what rap intended, but society wants to invade, so do not walk this path that they laid. It's
self-destruction, yeah, it was self-destruction.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your Pigskin Preview,
your Gridiron Gabfest, and your weekly football focus, it's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe-to-toe, football.
The old-timers, do you remember the names? Like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane. Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff in the snow.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest news, articles, opinions, information, podcasts, and more when it comes to the world of sports, sports entertainment, pop culture, movies, music, comic books, whatever you want. If you're interested in it, Place to Be Nation has an interesting take on it. Head on over to PlaceToBeNation.com today. You're down with the Kings. Place to Be Nation is down with the Kings. So get down with PlaceToBeNation.com. And since you're hearing that music, it is time for Second Down, our weekly football focus. And we didn't get to do it last week, Marcus, so this is kind of a homecoming. It feels good. Feeling better than a kid with a sack full of king-size candies on Halloween. Feeling better than that Grizzlies fan that won Tater Tots for life hitting that half-court shot. which, by the way, seems like a small prize, but I wouldn't hate on Tater Tots for life.
There are other prizes I would prefer.
Yeah, it wouldn't be my first choice. Obviously, I want cash first, straight cash, homie. But if Tater Tots for life are one of my options, I wouldn't sneeze at it.
Cigarettes for life or Tater Tots for life?
Oh, see, cigarettes for life would be good in the moment, but eventually I'm going to quit, Marcus. So I wouldn't want that temptation. Although I could take the cigarettes for life and just sell them.
That's
make
true.
Make a lot of money on, because not to throw shade on anybody, but there are some folks down here of the Asian persuasion that will just go and buy cartons of cigarettes and then stand outside 7-Eleven and flip them and sell, you know.
You buying Lucy's, Nate? How many Lucy's have you bought?
I haven't bought Lucy's in a while because the cops came down and cracked down
really?
That little operation. But yeah, there was a time when I was buying Lucy's, but then Lucy's started getting too expensive. You know, they started pricing themselves out of the market, charging 75 cents for one cigarette.
Mm.
Like, nah, man, 50 cents. Like, the extra quarter was a bridge too far. So I couldn't get down with the Lucy, man. But what I can get down with is the National Football League, Marcus. And it's been a couple weeks since we've had a chance to do our picks contest. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do it last week. But we do have updated standings for the season. So, Marcus, can you let the people know how we did last time we picked 2 weeks ago and also how the season standings are going?
All right. So week 7 was a wash. We both went 0-0. But week 6, Nate, you went 2-3. I went 3-2. So overall, Nate, you're 21-9, and I am 14-16.
Okay. So I still got a pretty sizable lead.
7-game lead.
Okay. Well, we'll see if that holds up this week. I'm feeling pretty good about my picks this week. So, Let's get into some games, Marcus, because that is, to me, the NFL is maybe the hardest league to predict on a week-to-week basis, despite my outstanding record this season. But we've got some pretty good matchups to talk about this week. And let's start with maybe the Kings of Sport favorite coach, Marvin Lewis? Question mark?
Favorite what?
Favorite head coach?
That we like to talk about? That we think it's a fraud that hasn't won a playoff game? Yeah, sure.
Well, Marvin Lewis and the undefeated Cincinnati Bengals head to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Big Ben is rumored to be returning this week. Marcus, what's the spread and who you got?
It's a pick 'em.
Ooh, okay. So do we have what's the latest on Roethlisberger?
He's playing.
He's playing?
Yep.
So the Landry Jones era is over?
It's over. So is the Michael Vick era. We'll discuss further. Soon enough.
Man, this is a tough one because the Steelers, I'm not going to be as dramatic as to say they need this game for their season, but they don't want to fall to 4-4 and lose a division game against the Bengals. They're at home. Big Ben's back. That changes the offense dramatically because it allows Antonio Brown to be more of a factor. So give me the Steelers.
Give me the Steelers as well.
All right, so we're both going with Pittsburgh. And watch Marvin Lewis come out here and shock us.
He might. It's not January yet, so you never know.
The next game. Let's go with Marcus's squad. We haven't talked about him a whole lot this year. I should say we haven't talked about him a whole lot since the season started, because we talked a lot about them in the preseason. But the Jets, Jets head to Oakland to take on the Raiders. What's the spread, Marcus?
Jets -3 on the road.
Oakland's better than they were, better than maybe a lot of people give them credit for, but I still think the Jets are very quietly one of the better teams in the AFC, so give me the Jets.
Give me the Raiders. While the Jets have been better, I just feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick is due for a meltdown.
So is that a real pick or is that a reverse jinx pick?
No, this is a real pick. I think the Raiders. I think I do like Carr and Cooper. And give me the Raiders. I think they might pull it out at home.
Okay, so I've got the Jets. Marcus surprisingly picks the Raiders. Next up, we have the Seattle Seahawks heading into Jerry World to take on the Dallas Cowboys. And then we'll see, Marcus, if the Cowboys can have peace and harmony on the sidelines this week, and can Greg Hardy not act a damn fool, which I know was a hard task to ask for, but what's the spread on this game?
Before we give the line, you have to talk about your favorite running back for a second, Joseph Randle.
Oh, Mr. He of the Clowning Baby story?
Yes, did you see the latest about him?
No, I didn't.
So earlier in the week, he went AWOL. Well, first off, he got benched, or lost his role. Then he went AWOL during the week. And then we find out that he's facing either a 1 or 2 game suspension for violating the league's personal conduct policy due to another offseason arrest that we didn't know about, I don't think. I didn't know about it.
Really?
Yes. This was the news. This happened February 4th. Oh, it was at Disney World, that's why. He got arrested for unlawful possession of marijuana.
So was that before or after he was stealing underwear and clothes?
After. So his second arrest in like 4 months.
Wow.
So he is facing a suspension. It sounds like it could happen soon. But yeah, not good times in Dallas for knuckleheads.
No, and not only do you have Greg Hardy acting a fool, not only do you have Joseph Randle acting a damn fool, but what's up with their quarterback position? Like, Matt Castle came in and people thought he was going to be, if not an answer, at least a more stabilizing force than Brandon Whedon. And I hate to say it, Marcus, but I probably would have rather had Whedon out there than Castle.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the game. I was traveling, but they did not win. And that's really all that matters to this point. They haven't won since, when did Romo get hurt? Week 1?
Romo, it was...
Did he play in the Eagles game? Let me see. No, he played in the Eagles game.
It was week 2.
Whedon hasn't won a game since and now Castle hasn't won a game since they've been out. So.
And the thing with Castle, like, Whedon's not great by any stretch of the imagination, but the one thing Whedon didn't do was turn the ball over.
Yeah.
And that's what Castle did last week. And it's like, man, you had one job, Matt Castle, just not turn the ball over and get the ball to Jason Witten. And he was able to get the ball to Witten a little bit more than Brandon Whedon did, but he also had some costly turnovers. So I'm like, Jerry's got to be sitting at Tony Romo's bedside every day. I don't know why I just made a situation where Tony Romo was in the hospital. And Jerry, let's go with it, though. And Jerry's just like, Tony, you got to come back. We need you, Tony. This team needs leaders, and you see the tears or whatever tears are left that can come out of Jerry Jones' surgically repaired tear ducts. So, here's the thing, Marcus. I still think Dallas is the best team in that division, but you're almost getting to a point where if they get too many losses, maybe they end up digging themselves too deep a hole.
Well, they're only a game out of the behind the Giants, so.
And aren't the Giants getting Victor Cruz back this week?
No, he's out this week.
He's out. He comes back when? For the Patriots
Who
game?
Knows of him? You can't tell. This is. I mean, he's supposed to be back already.
Yeah. So, what was the spread on this one? The Seahawks and the Cowboys?
Seahawks minus -7.
Seahawks on the road, minus -7. Who you got?
Give me the Seahawks.
I hate when we agree on these because it doesn't give us the wide variety of outcomes. But I'm going to go with you and go with the Seahawks.
All right.
All right. So the next game, the final Sunday game. Every week we pick 5 games, 4 on Sunday and the Monday night game. In a battle of undefeated teams, the Green Bay Packers take on the Denver Broncos Sunday Night Football. What is the spread, Brother Marcus?
Green Bay minus -2.5.
Whew. This is an interesting game to me because you've got two teams that are undefeated, obviously. Both teams have solid defenses. Denver, I think, has a really good defense. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who might be the best quarterback in football. And you've got Peyton Manning, who at one time was, if not the best, among the best. But this season has looked very mediocre. But if Peyton were to have a game, Marcus, that I think, you know, we'd see some flashes of that old Peyton. Not even that old Peyton, but the Peyton of the beginning of last season. If we were going to see those flashes, it might be in a game like this.
He's looked awful. I mean, I think he still leads the league in interceptions.
Yeah.
Despite Cam Newton trying to get to that list and trying to pass him last week with 3. But I think, well, considering they're 6-0 and they've won 4 of those 6 games on the road, which is impressive, I just think that eventually it's going to come to an end, and I think we might find out Sunday who the real sits in the undefeated team is in the Packers.
Yeah, and I think that this is a situation where the Broncos, even if they lose, I think they're still in a great position in the AFC West.
Yeah.
So they can afford to lose this one and still be a viable contender. But, yeah, Peyton, there's just something like, I don't know if it's him, if it's the offense, if it's a combination. The running game has been anemic at best. Like for everybody that drafted Ronnie Hillman or C.J. Anderson.
C.J. Anderson in the first round in most leagues.
it makes me feel better. Like, imagine that. Like, people were drafting C.J. Anderson in the first round, and I got Devontae Freeman in the 3rd or 4th round.
Yeah.
Wait, to quote Major Payne, who's the dummy now? So I don't know why I just took shots at people like that. I feel good, though. I'm 7-0 in fantasy heading into this week, Marcus.
It's not too bad.
And I made a trade with the franchise, which I never thought would happen.
Wow.
Like, I never thought that would happen.
You must be desperate, then.
Like, I never thought that would happen. But, well, see, I was desperate because I needed more than one running back. Because outside of Devontae Freeman, my other running backs were Alfred Morris, C.J. Spiller, Andre Ellington, and
guys you don't play at the moment.
D'Angelo Williams. So it's like, yeah.
Oof, yeah.
A combined 10 points between the 4 of them. So I was like, I need somebody else. So I was able to make a deal with the franchise. I had to give up Calvin Johnson, though, which hurt. But, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So we'll see. We'll see if this leads to me continuing my winning streak and maybe a matchup with the franchise in the championship game. But getting back to the picks, you're going with the Packers?
Yes.
You know what? Give me Peyton. I think this might be a game where they surprise us a little bit. I have no statistical metrics that would support that, but sometimes you got to go with your gut, Marcus.
All right.
Speaking of going with your gut, one of the gutsiest quarterbacks in the league, leader of the 6-0 Carolina Panthers, and a preeminent member of the Black Quarterback Power Rankings, Cam Ace Boogie Newton, taking on the Indianapolis Colts on Monday Night Football from Charlotte. What's the spread, Marcus?
Carolina minus 7.5.
Okay. So who you got in this one?
Give me the Panthers.
Marcus taking the Panthers, even after disparaging Cam Newton moments ago.
That's what I do.
You're like Joe Jackson. You just talk a bunch of shit about your kids and then, oh yeah, but he got a Grammy though.
Listen, I'm 5-2 in that league.
Oh, with Cam as your quarterback?
Yeah.
So Marcus is going with Cam. This is going to shock you, Marcus, but I'm going to go with luck. I'm going with luck in the Colts. So, yeah, Marcus has the Panthers on Monday night. I've got the Colts. So we'll see. We had a couple similar selections, but I think we had two or three where we differed on. So we'll see if the margin holds up for me in terms of our picks competition. So those are our picks. And now, Marcus, I think it's time for what everybody really wants to hear in segment four, really wants to hear in segment four. In segment two. Second down. Hey, I got post-traumatic stress disorder right now, dealing with these people in the hood. They're up to no good. Black quarterback power ranking. A lot of people's favorite part of the show. Did you hear last week when Brother Mike was sending some love out to Randall Cunningham?
I did hear that.
Yeah, so you don't have to be black to participate in the black quarterback power rankings.
No.
You can be any shape, creed, color, religion. Just send us your favorite black quarterbacks. Maybe we'll do that at the end of the year. Have an audience participation.
All-time favorite black quarterback.
All-time, like the all-time black quarterback. Maybe we'll get that Hall of Fame started, that Indiegogo, to open up the Black Quarterback Hall of Fame. Jamarcus Russell could cut the ribbon. It's going to be a purple ribbon, of course, though.
He's going to eat the ribbon.
Jamarcus, you eat the damn ribbon? Oh, man, I thought it was licorice. Let's just say, Marcus, this past week was not the greatest week for black quarterbacks. It was a trying week. The struggle was real for black quarterbacks in week 7 of the National Football League. But I think we're going to go ahead and rank our quarterbacks. We do have one member that is now off of the list.
Thank God.
Due to you know,
due to suckiness, really.
Hey, let's like, why you gotta kick a man when he's down, Marcus?
The same way you kicked those dogs when they were down.
Oh, see.
Oh, too soon.
Why you always bringing up old stuff, Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
Just like the people in the media, people of your ilk.
I'm doing this for the pit bulls, man.
Dolly.
Yeah.
So Michael Vick is off of the list for now. Who knows? You never know. He could be back again someday.
He's off the list forever, hopefully.
he's off the list forever, but he's always in our hearts.
Yeah, but we got a new bottom person.
Yes.
Unanimous.
So let's start, Marcus. Who do you have at the bottom, bringing up the rear of the black quarterback power rankings?
Coming at number 7 with a bullet and a pitch 6 and a fumble. EJ Manuel.
I keep telling you, man, we need to see if we can slide him off to the Hispanic quarterback power rankings.
He's the first guy to lose in the United States, Canada, and now the UK.
He's an international loser.
He's an international loser. I will give him credit. He did turn it around after his second quarter shenanigans, and Buffalo did rally before Jacksonville scored late. But wow, he had a stretch there in the second quarter where I was wondering if it was just mental at that point or what was going on.
Let me tell you, Marcus, the only reason I didn't turn that game off is because we're friends, and I didn't want, you know, the Yahoo broadcast to lose viewership. So I stuck by that game and suffered through EJ Manuel just for you, brother.
And it turned out to be a good game at the very end.
Like, you got me waking up for EJ Day and Manuel.
Yeah, that was
I mean, a lot of people watched the game, though, so that is good. That is a good thing.
Yeah, those people were like, oh, I'm not going to watch. Yeah, you're going to watch. It's, come on. It's football. It's football and something else on at 9:30 in the morning.
Right. Like, it's either this or Tony Brown.
And it's free, really. You're going to watch.
Like, it's either this or Tony Brown.
Yeah.
Take your pick. So, yeah. So, EJ brings up the bottom of your rankings, as he should. And I got a feeling who'll be next on the rankings. But go ahead and tell us, Brother Marcus.
Nets, Colin Kaepernick.
Yep. Is he still the starter in San Francisco?
Oh, he's starting. They're paying him too much money.
Who's the backup?
That's why he's starting. Name the backup. I can't.
Is Colt McCoy still with him?
No, he's in Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it Clawson? No.
Where's Jimmy Clawson?
No, it's not. Jimmy's somewhere else. Let me see. Oh, God. Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, man. That's job security.
Yeah.
That is job security. So, yeah, Cap hadn't looked good, man. Like, the offense isn't moving.
Well, he did. That was 2 weeks ago. He looked good against the Giants.
Yeah.
And they lost, but he looked good.
But against the Seahawks, man, they...
Yeah, they looked terrible.
Blaine Gabbert, like that. I'm just looking at that. Like, that is a... That's disrespectful to your team. Blaine Gabbert is your backup. Been in the league for 5 years.
Same as Cap.
Damn, Jacksonville. 10th pick of the draft.
Yep.
Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, I met him the same day I met Colin Cowherd. This was...
You met Blaine Gabbert the same day?
Yeah, this was Super Bowl in Dallas. So this was Packers... Patriots? Who was it? Whatever it was in Dallas. And went by ESPN, their location, and Cowherd was there, and I think Gabbert was doing maybe his show, but he also came by as well. And,
okay.
Just right after his great year at Missouri, and, you know, everyone's like, oh, he looks like a quarterback, and blah, 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 blah. Well, how's it working out?
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert has been stealing money for years. Like, I thought I got robbed on Thursday. Jacksonville, they got robbed, Marcus.
Yeah, so.
So, all right, so you got EJ Manuel, Colin Kaepernick. Who's next on the list?
Next is Jameis Winston, who moves up one spot.
Should have won that game.
Yeah, that wasn't his fault. I mean, too many penalties, too many defensive lapses. I was actually watching a game. I started watching a game and before I left DC, and wow, the Redskins looked bad at first. They got down early, and Tampa Bay was dominating them. I mean, you couldn't stop them offensively, but then something happened in the second half where Washington woke up, and I think Tampa Bay had, 14 penalties, maybe 15 penalties. Yeah. You can't win games like that. So that wasn't on Jameis. But I think Jameis has finally discovered that he has a guy named Mike Evans who he can just throw the ball to. And usually Mike Evans will catch the ball. So I think once Vincent Jackson gets healthy and gets right, Jameis will be fine. He's looking better, at least.
All right, so you got Jameis, who's moving up a little bit.
Jameis moving up. I guess we had to take Tyrod out the list, right? He's still
Tyrod's off the list because it's active starters.
All right, so Tyrod, we'll slot you back in when you get back.
But I mean, he's obviously better than at least four guys on this list right now.
Yeah,
when healthy. So Tyrod's off the list. Who you got next?
Next would be Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater to me is like the forgotten black quarterback.
He is. Maybe his name is Teddy. Maybe his name is like Taiwan. We wouldn't forget about him.
Yeah, and he plays in Minnesota.
Well, that too.
Like, nobody gives a damn about the Vikings. Who won, though? By the way.
Yeah. And he played well. 316 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks.
To me, this was
Lions stink, but, you know.
This might have been Teddy's most complete game as a starter.
Maybe.
And I think the lack of interceptions, like the just the command of the offense, granted, like you said, they were playing Detroit, so you got to take that with a grain of salt. But this, to me, seemed to, you know, the offseason, all the talk was, Teddy's taking a step forward. Teddy's improved. And we've seen it at times this year, but that game against Detroit seemed to be like, okay, this is what they were talking about. Teddy's taking that step up to go from, this kid's got potential to, okay, he can be a quality starter in this league.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a quarterback to start this week because of the bye week, the Vikings play the Bears, who have a worse defense than the Lions. So if you need a quarterback, Bridgewater might be your man. So give me Teddy next. And then that leaves us with two.
The age-old debate. Light skin versus dark skin.
Yes. And considering we haven't had a ranking since the Panthers-Seahawks game, we had OTM 1, Russell 2, based on that win. So, Wilson's Nets and then Cam.
Okay.
Despite Cam Newton's mediocre game on national television.
But did they win the game, Marcus?
Oh, they won the game.
And I think that should be like at the Black Quarterback Hall of Fame, one of the exhibits should just be like poor performances that ended in wins and Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. Had a voiceover like, the Panthers struggled with Cam Newton's turnover problems, but still they found a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, they won, but eventually this is going to catch up to them. You can't continue to have games where, A, you're inaccurate, and B, you're throwing picks. So, his last two starts, 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So, they this won both of those games, but eventually it's going to catch up to them.
Yeah, and this was, you know, kind of almost the inverse of Teddy, where I thought last week that was the first game where I saw Teddy step up and had a complete game. This is the first game all season where, to me, Cam reverted to that old Cam of trying to do too much.
Yeah.
Where it felt like he was forcing passes, where he wasn't letting the offense come to him. He wasn't making the best decisions. And it's like, man, like you don't have a lot of weapons. Like, you've got Olsen, who's a great weapon. But other than that, you got a lot of average dudes. But you don't have to put it all on yourself. You got a great defense. You know, just don't make any turnovers. Don't make any mistakes. Play within yourself. And this team should win, especially in a year where the NFC is down as a conference. So I think that they're going to be all right. But this was kind of a wake-up call. It's kind of the best of both worlds. Like, A, they won the game. But, B, there's footage that Ron Rivera can use to say, hey, Cam, you know, we need you to tighten this up. You know, we don't need you out here trying to be Superman. We just need you to be a good quarterback.
Yeah, and I think all the MVP talk, he's not going to win the MVP, folks. He's not winning it. The Panthers should go 16-0. No, it's not because he's black. Because he's an okay quarterback.
Plus Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady's running away with it.
Yeah, I mean, Brady, Rodgers, I mean, you know. And I don't really buy into ESPN's QPR or QBR.
Yeah.
Mostly because number 4 on QBR this year, Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is total bullshit. but Cam is all the way down to 23, which is also kind of.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
what does make sense is Sam Bradford at number 32. That made sense.
Oh, Sam Bradford.
So,
to his credit, though, Sam Bradford is currently number one in the Indian quarterback power ranking list.
Yes.
I think it's a sample size of one.
Sample size of one. Him and Mariota, number one in their respective divisions.
Yeah, Mariota's number one for the Pacific Islander quarterback rankings. So Marcus had Cam, Russ, Teddy, Cap, and EJ?
Yes.
Okay, because that's the... Oh, you had Cap, Jameis, EJ.
Cap, Jameis.
That was Jameis, Cap.
Jameis, Cap,
EJ. Okay, since we're down a quarterback this week. So my list is pretty similar, Marcus. Send a shout-out to Mike Vick. You know, you'll always be number two on the program and number one in our hearts. But E.J. Manuel is not a good quarterback, Marcus.
No.
Like, I think we say this every week we talk about him. It's not his fault, though. Like, it is his fault that he's terrible, but it's not his fault that he was put in a position to be terrible.
Yeah.
That, like, nobody told the Bills they had to be stupid and draft E.J. Manuel at a spot where nobody else was projecting him. But, yeah, he's got talent and he's got physical tools, but I've never seen this dude in, what, a year and a half, 2 years? I've never seen him put together a complete game. So EJ is the coming up last on my list. I'm going to go with Cap next on the list. Like, this is one of those 50 Cent Wankster situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, homie. In high school, you was the man, homie. Like, 2 years ago, there was the argument. Who's better, Kaepernick or Wilson?
Yeah.
Who's the quarterback that's going to be the quarterback for the future? And I don't even know if Colin Kaepernick is the quarterback of the present. Like, the only thing keeping Cap in that lineup to me, besides the fact that you paying this dude a lot of money, is Blaine Gabbert is the backup. Like, I think if they had anybody with a modicum of skill, like, let's say this was still Kaepernick and Alex Smith on the 49ers. With Cap playing the way he's playing, I think I might have to put Alex Smith in that lineup because at least he's not going to make some of the mistakes that Cap has made. So I hope he gets better, though, because this guy has too much talent to just become an average dude. But that whole team is a mess, though. The whole 49ers squad is a mess. So Cap is next on the list. Following Cap is Famous Jameis. I thought he played a pretty good game against the Redskins. I hate that the team allowed Washington to come back because that feeds into the mythology of Kirk Cousins. And now you got Kirk Cousins screaming at the media running off the field. I told you I could do it.
You like that.
You like that. Like, you beat the Bucks, dog. Let's keep it in perspective. After you were trailing to the Bucks. So, still not sold on Kirk Cousins, but I am buying Jameis Winston. Because I think that, again, week after week, he's somebody that is showing me at least that he's learning, Marcus. And you mentioned, you know, the connection with Mike Evans. I think Doug Martin... running the ball.
Marcus Grant called that. He's been great this year.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, Doug Martin is a guy that I had trepidation about drafting in fantasy football. And maybe if I had drafted Doug Martin, I wouldn't have.
He's third in rushing behind Chris Johnson and Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, I wouldn't have needed to. And Chris Johnson, like, damn, that's a comeback story. Like, that's a comeback story. And, yeah, I think Jameis Winston is on the right track. He's not there yet, but he's learning. So Jameis is next on that list. Then we go to Teddy Jam, who, again, had a complete game on last week against Detroit. Then we'll go with your man, Russ, brother Lightskin, because he lost to Cam head-to-head, and B, because right now I'm not feeling light-skinned people.
All right, that's the end of the show. Talk to you whenever.
You know, I mean, you're cool, Marcus. You're cool. But the rest of them, Al DeBarge, your man, I said Al DeBarge. Al Be Sure, your man, El DeBarge. See, I'm confusing my light-skinned people.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a hell of a group, though. Al Be Sure with El DeBarge. It's Al DeBarge. We'll sing one song for $2,000.
El Sure.
El Sure. But, yeah, so I got Cam at number one, Russ at number two. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting because we've got, what, five undefeated teams left in the NFL?
Yeah.
Patriots, the Panthers, Broncos, the Packers, and Cincinnati Bengals. So something's going to give. Something's got to give. They're not all going to remain undefeated. I think this week we'll see Denver, either Denver or Green Bay obviously has to lose, and then I think we'll see one other undefeated team lose.
I mean, they could tie.
That would be so great if they had Peyton and Aaron Rodgers tied. They're like, hey, we're both still undefeated.
But next week, shaping up to be a great game. If assuming the Panthers win, which I think they will, and if the Packers win, Green Bay travels to Carolina next Sunday.
And you know, like the Carolina fans don't get a lot of credit, but that stadium is going to be crazy for that one.
Yeah, that's the it's an early game. It's a 10 o'clock game Pacific, so that should be interesting.
Oh, yeah, they'll be liquored up by then.
Yeah.
So we hope you enjoyed Second Down. Glad to bring it back this week. The Black Quarterback Power Rankings exclusively here on the Kings of Sport, your home for all things black quarterback. But, yeah, Marcus, I think I'm good talking about football. I think we need to end this show with some ratchetness.
We haven't discussed Second Four off the air, but I do think we owe the people a discussion on a certain returning wrestler, because the story does involve race and wrestling, and it's been a while since we discussed wrestling, so.
Okay, I think we can do that. Yeah, we'll talk some race and wrestling in segment four, because, you know, with Grantland closing, you know, we're kind of the go-to place for race and wrestling discussions.
Yes, rest in peace, Grantland.
So I was going to say RIP, Chief Heat.
Yeah, that too.
So stick and say more Kings of Sport, segment four, right after this.
That one is hot fire.
Now these are the tales, and you know it's all good. It's all the same, and ain't no change in every neighborhood. Now back in the days when I was a scrub, my uncles had me serving cabbie, pushing dimes to dust. Now the dimes went to quotas went to pounds, and all the fools knew the rule not to step on our stomping grounds. Cause that's when the pop started to holler. You knew the death was always a hard thing for mama to swallow. Jimmy cracks in the back, beating the hell out his wife. He knew he was wrong and he was gone, so he took his own life. Now these are a few tales that used to happen. I never said that it was dead because we kept it cracking, and you know that.
Hood sounds bad, hood sounds good. These are tales, tales from Brussels. Hood sounds bad, hood sounds good. These are tales, tales from Brussels. Hood sounds bad, hood sounds good. These are tales, tales from Brussels. Hood sounds
bad. Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we want to send a shout out to the good people over at the High Voltage Radio Network. High Voltage Radio is where you can find the wildest selection of podcasts on the interwebs for your listening pleasure. Shows like The Mad Mock Show, shows like Pittsburgh Nerds, shows like The Ebony and Ivory Cast, shows like The Gravy Age, shows like Axology featuring friend of the program Hat Club Andy, and Mr. Throwback Thursday featuring frenemies of the program Bill and Jamie. So head on over to highvoltageradio.com, check out their selection, and tell them the King sent you. Now that music means it is time for segment four, our weekly repository of ratchetness, where Marcus and I go to the world of sports, go to the world of entertainment, sometimes to the world of sports entertainment, and find some crazy stories and chop it up for you, the people here. So, Marcus, we teased coming out of second down that we're going to talk some wrestling. So let's let the people know what's on the table to discuss this week.
Yeah, so last Sunday at Hell in a Cell, John Cena's open challenge was answered by a surprise return. Alberto Del Rio is back after being gone with the company for about a year. He was gone. And he's returned. And I think, you know, a lot of us had the same, I guess, question in our heads when we saw the return was, well, why would a dude come back after he not only was fired from the company, but he was fired after dealing with racial slurs and comments that were directed towards him by an employee. And, you know, at first I was right. Well, he sold out. And then, earlier this week, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer got his hands on the number that Del Rio signed for. And, well, brother, I understand. He's reportedly making $1.4 million with limited dates for coming back to the company. So, Nate, I've talked about my time at BET on the show. If BET called tomorrow and said, hey, you come back for $1.4 million, I'll be in New York on Monday.
you would be back in the family.
I would be.
Yeah, this is crazy because when the news about him talking with the WWE or maybe being in contact with them, that came out before the pay-per-view, like a couple weeks before. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a possibility. Then when we get closer to Hell in a Cell and they're doing the open challenge, I'm like, well, it is in L.A. And short of somebody like a Daniel Bryan or even a Samoa Joe, who would be the best person to bring back in Los Angeles? Obviously, Del Rio, because they've had issues building up a Latino star. And so, or if not building up a Latino star, catering to that Latino fan base. And so I'm like, yeah, that would make sense, but he wouldn't do it, especially not after what they did to him and all the things he said, because he was not somebody that held his tongue in the media.
No.
Like Del Rio would go on record and talk about the way that they treated him and how he felt that they didn't respect Mexican superstars and this and that. So I'm like, nah, there's no way. There's no way he's coming back. But then, like you said, when you hear that the details of that deal and you realize that he's getting more money to work less dates, it's like, yeah, I mean, I could let a lot of stuff slide too, Marcus. Like, I'm a proud man, but you know what? For that type of money, you call me nigga all day long. I'll be like, you know what? Just make sure you call me Mr.
Yeah.
Mr. Nigger.
Those checks clear in the first and the 15th.
I understand some people that have a problem with him coming back, but come on, like, let's be real. Any of us in the same situation, not all of us, but most of us.
Yeah,
like Henry. 99.9% of us.
Henry Thompson posted something about it, how he was disappointed about Del Rio coming back. This is before the number came out. So I actually do want to ask Henry, now that we know the number that he didn't pay to come back, And if he was in Del Rio's shoes, would he actually stick to his guns and not come back? And considering, you gotta point out, the dude who was involved in this was fired, the social media guy.
Yes.
So he's the one with the company. So, I mean, you know, assuming that dude is gone and they do want to cater to the Latino audience and sort of cultivate a Latino superstar, and they're paying him that much more money to come back, I mean, I understand.
The one thing that did feel a little bit odd, though, was the way they brought him back, Mark,
yeah,
with Zeb Coulter. And it's like, you know, okay, these two had a feud, and for those that don't remember the Zeb Coulter character, he was basically playing like a extreme version of a Tea Party kind of guy, and you know, build borders up against the Mexicans, and we want to keep America for real Americans, and so they're bringing him back with Alberto Del Rio, and it's like, okay, I like Del Rio, and I like Zeb, but I just don't know if they fit together.
Yeah, I didn't watch Ross. I'm not sure what happened there, but
They did like a little vignette where they said that, you know, Zeb is a great American and Del Rio is a great Mexican, and they're starting their own country called Mex-America. And they pulled out like a flag with half of the flag is the United States flag and the other half is the Mexican flag, and that's where they're going with it now.
So that does that mean he's a babyface?
Right. Because he came out against Cena in L.A., which automatically makes him a babyface. But the next night on Raw, they had him take on Neville.
Neville!
And the crowd was solidly behind Neville rather than Del Rio. So it's like, I don't know. Like, he should be a babyface. But here's the other thing, Marcus. If they really wanted to make him a babyface, they let him talk about some of the stuff that he went through. And they're not going to do that.
No.
So if he can't talk about that, then maybe it just makes sense to make him a heel.
That'd be the ultimate shoot interview. You want to see a real pipe bomb. Give the mic to Del Rio and let him vent about what he put up with in the back.
Yeah. That's the only way to me that if you really were serious about making him this great Mexican hero, you know, you'd let him talk about it. But I don't see that happening. So maybe the best way to go is for him and Zeb to be kind of this obnoxious heel team.
Yeah, that's not going to last.
No.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you got poor Zeb in the damn wheelchair.
Yeah, he's had some operations. And
yeah, like the match on Monday, like, it wasn't super close, but it was close enough. Like, Neville hit dive to the outside on Del Rio, and they were probably maybe a foot or two away from the wheelchair.
Hmm.
So it's like, you know, it's wrestling. We've seen things go wrong before. It's like, I don't know why you want to put that man in that position where, you know, he can't get in the ring. He can't really do anything other than talk. Why put him, you know, that close to the action?
I mean, if they wanted to make Del Rio a baby face, they would have brought back Ricardo.
Yes.
And gone back, not to the original gimmick with him being this aristocrat, but just bring back Ricardo to introduce him. And
like, that would have been so cool if Cena's waiting for somebody to come out.
And Ricardo comes out.
Ricardo walks out, and they're like, wait a minute, is Ricardo fighting? And then he pulls the mic out and he introduces Del Rio. Oh, that would have been crazy. Damn. Yeah, I think there's a way to do that character without doing like the Mexican JBL stuff almost. Like, yeah, there's a way to make him a babyface. See, the problem was last time when they tried to make him a babyface, it felt forced. It felt like they were trying to fit him into a mold of what they wanted their babyface to be, kind of the bland Sheamus John Cena babyface role. But it's like, no, this guy's got legitimate fan support, especially from Latino people, when it comes to, you know, his work in AAA and Lucha Underground. Like, they want to cheer for this dude.
Yeah.
So why don't you let him? Because I think they were in L.A., obviously, on Sunday, and I think Monday they were still in California. I think they're San Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah. So they were, you know,
Conan and those guys were there.
Yeah. So, they're, like, he would still come off as a big deal in places like that in front of those audiences, those crowds. So I don't know why they're doing this stupid Mex America stuff with Zeb. Even though I like both Zeb and Del Rio, I think this gimmick's gonna flop.
Yeah, it's gonna flop. And I mean, if this is all setting up for Del Rio to turn on Zeb, then let's just hope it's sooner than later.
And even then, like, if Del Rio turns on Zeb, like, what can he do? Because the dude's in a wheelchair already.
Oh, that's a good point. You can't, like, you
know. Like, was he going to tip over the wheelchair? Like, no, man.
Can't take a bump.
No, he can't take. Now, if you really wanted somebody to come in there and take a bump, you'd be bring Hulk Hogan back for one night.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Hulk Hogan would do it for any amount of money.
Oh, of course.
I'll take that bump, brother. Just as long as it's not from a nigger.
But with Del Rio back, I mean, I just really, the list of people or the list of wrestlers who have sort of been excommunicated from the company now sits at, what, two? Punk and Hogan?
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Like, they always say never with the WWF / WWE because we've seen, you know, over the years, Hogan, Bret Hart, Ultimate Warrior, people that have differences with Vince McMahon, like pretty much everybody except for now currently, you know, Punk, Hogan, and I guess you could throw Jeff Jarrett in there as well. He's never coming back on that show.
Yeah, I'll feel about Jeff Jarrett.
You should, Marcus. He's out here making a global change for you.
How's that TV deal working?
Hey, they're in, I think they're in England or someplace this week, someplace overseas.
Not on TV, though.
I'm sure you can get them on closed circuit.
Yeah.
So I take it you're not amped for GFW.
I am not, no. I see what you did there, but no, I'm not amped.
You know the crazy thing, Marcus? I haven't watched any Amped. I haven't watched any Impact. I haven't watched any ROH.
You can't watch any Amped. There is no Amped. That's the problem.
Yeah, they got their web stuff.
You're not watching that. Come on.
I did watch some of that, like, during the TNA GFW stuff because I wanted to see what it would lead to, if anything, mm-hmm. which was nothing. But I haven't watched TNA, any of Global Force, any of ROH since Review and Impact went off the air.
Wow.
Like, the only thing I've watched has been some NXT and mostly Raw.
And I try not to watch Raw. It's just rough.
No, Raw's not good. Like, there's good. Raw's a good 90-minute show. The problem is it's 3 hours.
Yeah.
3 hours plus an overrun.
Yeah.
And like, why do I need this overrun?
Keep it hard out. 11 o'clock, you're done.
Like, I know it's all a plot, Marcus, by USA to get me to watch Chris Lee Knows Best 15 minutes later.
And does it work?
No. I will say
my wife watches it.
Some nights Chrisley's more entertaining than Raw.
Yeah. And it's shorter, so.
<He's> right. Like, I think the characters are more developed on Chrisley Knows Best than on Raw some weeks.
It's an interesting show.
You got the grandmother that cusses and drinks and the black baby where we never see the daddy.
Yeah, that's so weird. It's adopted, I think, right? Didn't they adopt the black kid?
No, I think that's her son.
Oh, I thought the kid was, like, really dark. Let me see.
I may be wrong, but I think that's... Because that was from, like, the first season where he was telling the other kid, like, don't be out there all sassy like your sister with a snapdragon snapping.
Let's see.
And then you got Todd Chrisley, who's... Very effeminate, but somehow is got all these kids that he's just knocking out. And his wife, who reminds me of like a young Paula Deen.
That's not a good thing. Kyle Chrisley has a secret baby mama who's black.
Okay.
From South Carolina.
Huh. And we never see the baby mama. And so is the other, is that the black baby or is it?
Yeah. So I think this is it. Their one-year-old love child, Chloe, made her television debut in March when she temporarily moved in with Chrisley's household in Atlanta. So that's her kid.
Okay. They're
his kid, yeah.
See, I thought that was the daughter's kid. That's his kid, though.
Yeah, that's his kid.
Okay. So he's got the little secret black baby.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that black baby got paid for that, though.
Those residual checks, man.
I don't say, you know, but that black baby's in SAG now.
Yep. Card carrying member.
Can't even read, but she got a card. Oh, but yeah. So getting back to Del Rio to wrap things up this week, like, where do you think this goes? Do you think that he's going to be somebody they treat as a priority? Or do you think that, A, they wanted him because they wanted a Mexican presence, and B, they like him, having him around, but they don't really know what to do with him?
I mean, considering he came back and beat Santa Clean, I think that is a sign that they have some big plans for him. And I think definitely WrestleMania 32 in Texas,
yeah,
it would be smart to have him as one of the main, not the main event, but one of the top matches should feature Del Rio, I think. I've always been a fan of his work in the ring. He's a great wrestler.
You think we get, because obviously I don't think he's going to be anywhere near the world title, but do you think he's still U.S. champ by then?
Maybe. I don't see Cena coming back to win that title.
So you think when Cena comes back, he's going straight for the world title picture?
Yeah, or one off, or setting up for whoever's going to fight at Mania.
Right.
And I don't think it'll be Del Rio. So I think he might sort of let that one go. So I could see him maybe holding on to that title until Mania.
Okay. So yeah, I'd like to see that, man, because I think Del Rio's an underrated performer, and he, like we said, even though the circumstances behind his dismissal were shady, and it would take a lot for us to come back. Read that number again, Marcus.
$1.4 million.
I think that can cover up a lot of hurt feelings.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and if you really think you're gonna tell yourself no, you're lying. He's just not getting that much money on the indies. He wasn't getting that money from Lucha Underground. He wasn't getting that money from ROH.
Right.
This allows him to spend more time at home, which he wanted to do. So,
well, I think that's the big thing, because if he worked AAA, if he worked Lucha Underground, if he worked ROH, if he did a bunch of combinations of things, maybe you get close to a million, but you're still working a lot more dates.
You're working a lot more dates, yeah.
Whereas with this, you get your 1.4 million, and you're working a lighter schedule, and you're seen by more people.
Yep.
Because let's be real, as much as people want to hype up New Japan or AAA or ROH, and they're all good products, at the end of the day, the WWE is still the biggest show in town.
And you're working in a safer environment.
He's
not working as hard as he was on some of the indie scenes. It's a different type of wrestling they're doing in the WWE, unfortunately. So, yeah, I mean, it all made sense. He's protecting himself. He's getting his money. More time at home. And hopefully the company has learned from their first time with him. Maybe let's hold off on the racial slurs in front of him, at least.
Right. Let's keep that behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So that's segment four of Viva Del Rio. Marcus, if the people want to hit you up, if Brother Henry wants to respond to you on Twitter and let you know why he wouldn't take that $1.4 million from Vince McMahon, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will. MarcoWill.
You can follow me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. We can talk about wrestling, politics, since we are in the the election season. We can talk about what you did for Halloween. Like, not really. I mean, you can send me your costumes if you are a female listener.
Don't dress in blackface. Don't do it.
Exactly. I was just going to say, Rachel Dozell is not an acceptable character this Halloween, If you're white, dressed as Kanye West, not acceptable. If you put makeup on your face, just don't do it. If you have the urge to say, you know what, I don't know if this is racist or not, just don't do it. Because if you have to ask, it probably is.
Or if you do it, don't take any pictures of it. Just be smart. You don't have to put it on Instagram. It's all right. No. Just do it and hope no one sees you. There you go.
There you go. So you can follow me on Twitter, in the number 8, MOZAIK. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD. Cospod on Twitter. Shout out to Place to Be Nation as well as High Voltage Radio, our partners in the podcast game. And finally, check us out next week. I don't know why I said finally like that, to make it all dramatic. And finally, check us out next week, same time, same channel, where who knows what we'll be talking about, Marcus. If the World Series is over by then, maybe we'll be talking to Bobby and Dennis.
Yeah, it'll be done by next week, by next Wednesday, Thursday. So
yeah, we'll be look forward to talking to Dennis Black and Asian, a.k.a. Marcus's podcast stunt double, and Bobby Fresh, friend of the program, to talk some World Series baseball. I'm sure we'll talk some basketball next week, as well as Second Down, segment 4, all of our usual segments that you love and enjoy each week. So catch us back here next week for an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show. So I think that's going to do it for this week, Marcus.
Yeah, I think that's it. Any Halloween plans?
Come on, dog. You think I'm really going to be out here on these streets on Halloween? After Thursday?
Yeah, that's a good point.
No, I got a football game tonight, but yeah, that's like, I don't know. I just don't get into Halloween as much as I used to. Plus, it's kind of creepy, like a single black dude, like over the age of 30, just handing out candy to these little kids on these streets.
That's a good point.
Not a good look.
No.
And it's made even worse if I dress up. Like, if I come to the door dressed like Prince.
Yeah. Cosplay.
So, no, I will not be partaking in the Halloween festivities, although I might have a drink or two tonight after the game.
All right.
So, you got any plans? You and your wife hitting up any Halloween parties?
No. I have to work Saturday. But her birthday is on Monday, so.
Okay. Well, happy early birthday.
She stopped listening.
She stopped listening?
Yeah. It's like once I got married, she's like, I'm done.
So you gained a wife and we lost a listener.
We lost a listener. She does download, if that helps us any. But
okay.
She's actually not listening to the show.
She downloads, but she doesn't listen. Okay, that's a fair trade.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, at least we're getting credit for the download.
That's true.
So he said she stopped listening. I was like, wow. She didn't even make it to the best of the year show.
Nope, she didn't get past the NBA finals. So,
oh man, she's way behind. So she's last time she heard us, we were probably talking with Hat Club Andy.
Yeah, I think it was around episode 111 is where she like, dropped off. So,
oh wow, yeah. So okay, so I can stop sending her shout outs in these shows now.
Yeah, you can.
But she'll hear it like 7 months from now, just randomly. All right. So Marcus's wife doesn't listen anymore, but we thank you guys and girls out there for listening to the Kings of Sport. And
the
we'll be back.
Listeners. The true fans.
Yes. And we'll be back next week with an all new episode of the world's most dangerous podcast, The Kings of Sport. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. Get your hand out of my pocket, because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.